Amen. Steve, our sponsors.
Chris Toothpaste. Ed and Iris Miller for sponsoring in honor of Dr. Arthur Shapiro's special birthday.
Shkoyach. Mazel tov, Dr. Shapiro. Mazel tov. Amei v'esim shanim tovos.
Amen.
Shkoyach Israel. Thank you.
Ruben Reznikov in honor of the Rav and the Kabura with a Kar Shatov for welcoming him with open arms, and then it's a great group. And Jerry Applebaum, who I don't know if he's here.
I don't see Jerry.
In honor of his grandson's third birthday.
Oh, Mazel Tov. Mazel Tov. Mazel Tov. To all of our sponsors.
Cheers. Are we off?
And a tremendous thank you. Tremendous thank you to Reb Tzvi for always for the beautiful, beautiful spread. Incredible, incredible. It gets more intense each week. Baruch Hashem.
Thank the shul for all the oil.
Yeah. Also, if anyone has any additional ideas about what we could deep fry, we're open to deep frying ideas. If
Oreos,
fruits, vegetables, you know, whatever we can. Plastic cups, chairs, you know, whatever we could do. If we could put batter on it and deep fry it, we are ready. But I've seen tremendous yesha koch. So beautiful.
By the way, I respond to feedback. By the way, when everyone pulls back, they're like, "Does everything have to be fried?" And then we kind of. It's a cycle.
Yes. You have to say it. You have to say it.
I was like, where'd the fries go? The fries are the best. You only did that once.
Mamish. You're a man of the people. All right, Shkoyach. I will say, let's delve in. First of all, there are extra svarim over here if anyone needs. So, Mir Tashem, tonight we are continuing on the bottom of page 51. So, we're actually coming close to Mir We're actually coming close in Meretz Hashem to the end of this section. Again, we'll see. I don't think we'll get to it tonight. Maybe we'll save it in Meretz Hashem next week for Hoshana Rabbah in Meretz Hashem. But let's begin. We're picking up page 51, the bottom. So we'll say that Piyajetzlan says as follows. So the Rebbe says, again, remember, in this particular section, so what's unique over here is, remember, the title of this section is the Seder Hadracha Uklalin. So remember, again, in this particular section, so what the Piaget is really going through is just kind of some basic major points. The points, ultimately, again, that are necessary in order for one to be successful in all of the other parts that we've seen so far, and just in general, successful in their growth in Yiddishkeit. So here the Piaget says as follows, paragraph test, what's this incredible piece? Lo ya'avor alecha yom b'lo Torah. A yid should never have a day, has a day where he's not learning. Can't have a day pass by you without Torah. Tov shetzvos, listen to this. Tov shetikba shas limudech baboker. Piyajetna says, it is better to a son. So every person has an obligation to learn Torah every day. So we know this, right? Torah says that we are supposed to go ahead, right? B'shach v'chav kumecha, b'lech t'chav aderech, b'shach v'chav kumecha, right? We're supposed to go ahead and have Torah with us again when we're at home, when we're on the road, when we're sitting up, lying down. Torah is supposed to be a part of our lives. Of course, the way we kind of consolidate that obligation is that a person has an obligation to be kovei itim l'Torah. Now, we'll say kovei itim l'Torah doesn't just mean setting aside time to learn. It means setting aside specific time to learn. Now, we'll say, why isn't it enough to go ahead and just set aside time to learn? Why does it have to be specific time to learn? We know, because what happens when you don't set aside a specific time for something? What happens? Just whatever it is, 7 out of 10 times, 8 out of 10 times, it just doesn't get done. Again, not because I don't care about it, but just simply because it gets bumped for other things that are a bit more time emergent. So therefore, again, so we have a, and that's supposed to say, you know, what your person is asked three questions. After 120, when a person comes before the Beis Din Shamala, before the heavenly court, I'm asked three questions. Number one, Asakta b'Imperia v'Rivia. Did I try to have a family? Did I try to have a family? Right? Nasasa v'Nasata b'Emuna. Was I honest in my business dealings? And Kavata itim l'Torah. Did you set aside time to learn? Now, amazingly enough, if you notice, by the way, the Ribono Shel Olam doesn't ask me what. What doesn't he ask me? Excellent learning. Right? He doesn't ask me how much time I learned. That's not the question. Because there's a recognition that the amount of time I'm able to devote to learning could be a whole variety of different life circumstances. So that I'm not judged on the amount of time. I'm not judged on the quantity. It's not quantity, it's kvius. It's not even quality. It's quantity, it's kvius, not quantity. In other words, have I designated time every single day? This is the time that I learn. So that's the, now again, that's not the Piaget's, no? That's the Gemara. That's Chazal telling us that a Yid has an obligation to set aside time to learn. And again, the concept of Kviyas Itim LaTorah ultimately is same time every day. Now here I will say the Piagetzna goes ahead and adds in his piece and he says, do this in the morning. Again, right, Daf Yomi. I'm going to give you Daf Yomi plugins a little bit again. do it in the morning. So I will say, so the truth is, even before we go on, the truth is the Chever from the Daf knows the best thing about learning at 5:45, 5:55, whenever we start, is I will say, No one ever has a conflict at 5:45 in the morning, right? There is never a pre-release scheduled meeting, right? Okay, maybe you have a flight to catch or travel, okay. But in general, right? And again, I would even say if you do have conflicts, you have to manage your schedule a little bit better. Like Lemaisa, come on, you know, there is a person has to set a priority system in life. So if you look at a time of day where there is the least amount of conflicts, it's the morning. And the earlier you get, the earlier it is. So ultimately, again, the less conflict-ridden the particular time of day is. So the Pishasna says it's important to set aside time for him. That's Aleph. Beis, but do it by Boker. He says that Kaddish. Why? Well, say that. He says something very beautiful. So I'm explaining it as because you have a greater statistical probability of maintaining a seder of learning in the morning than you do in the evening. That's just the reality, right? So much stuff happens in the evenings. A person, especially a zochet to have a family, there's so many other things that just come up over the course of an evening. So I was thinking the Piaget was going to say that at the end of the day, set your kavias of learning in the morning, because again, it won't be interrupted. But he says something very beautiful. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ohev Es Hareishis. The Ribono Shel Olam loves beginnings. How do you know the Ribono Shel Olam loves beginnings? Because the first pasuk in the Torah is Bereishis. Baruch Hu wanted to tell us what he did first thing, so to speak, in the morning. The Ribono Shel Olam loves beginnings. The Chevra, why does the Ribono Shel Olam love beginnings? Because often in life, the way you begin something will fundamentally determine its trajectory and its ultimate outcome as well. Now, sometimes a person in a particular life endeavor or initiative can have a flawed beginning and you can still salvage it. That's definitely possible. But Lamaisa, there's a power when you begin something strong that casts a positive pale, right? That's a proper term. But it casts a positive energy over the rest of the particular endeavor. So therefore, again, the Piyajatna says, you go ahead, you begin your day with Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Reishis. He loves beginnings. He loves beginnings. And when we begin strong, I will say, it sets the tone for the day. He goes, Vim, Yav Shal Lecha Baboker. Yeah, Ba'arif. Okay. And what happens? I can't learn in the morning. I will say, again, a person can't learn in the morning. Well, whatever. People have different scheduling, whatever else it might be. It's fine. So make your kavias in the evening. I will say, but bottom line is, whether it's the morning, whether it's the evening, whether it's the afternoon, whenever it's going to be, what's my obligation? My obligation is to actively set up a time to learn. And I will say, again, barring like extenuating circumstances, that has to be a time that I don't compromise on. That has to be Kodesh Kadoshim. That has to be sacrosanct. That has to be something that just cannot be infringed upon by anything. Okay, not talking about extenuating circumstances, but in a general sense. And he says, make a schedule. Now, kitzva literally means an amount, right? And kitzva lishnosecha, we just davened, right? So kitzva, so make for yourself a particular amount. What does this mean? Kame Gemara, page 52, Medrash, Talmud b'chol shavua, u'b'chol yom, chok v'lo yavar. So we'll say, so the Piyajesna says, make a schedule. In other words, we'll say, sometimes, this in general, you know, I just had this conversation literally today with somebody who was telling me about Daf Yomi, about how it's really not a good Seder HaLimud. It's not a good thing because you know, what do you retain? It goes so quickly. I said to the person, I said, how much time do you learn a day? He said, 20 minutes. So 20 minutes. I said, well, I learned 45 minutes. So by definition, I'm better than you, right? In other words, forget about whatever else I learned. That's not true. I didn't say that part. Right? But Lemaisa, again, Lemaisa, we'll say, you're right. In other words, there's a cost-benefit analysis. Could a person go ahead and perhaps understand more, delve deeper in a different form of learning? Absolutely, both say. But those of us who do the daf know. What is the most incredible part of the daf? The most incredible part of the daf is not the retention. It's not even the information. Gedalia Rosenblum said this at one of our last siyumim. He said the best part of daf yomi is yomi. The best part of the limud is the continuity. It's every single day. So those of you who are here, Yom Kippur, right? We had a 1 hour break. So what does he do during his 1 hour break in Yom Kippur? What does he do? What does he do? He does the daf. Of course it's what you do. Like what's
you get ideas throughout the shots also.
You know? 100 again. I'm a big fan in general, but I'm saying even if, but I have to accept the argument that if you're looking to master something per se, I don't know that Daf Yomi gives you mastery. I think Daf Yomi gives you breath, right? Halavai. Daf Yomi gives you right entire panoramic view of Torah. Gives you ideas. Gives you concepts. Absolutely. And I will say, but most importantly, Daf Yomi gives you a daily anchor. That every single, and again, it's not that Yomi plug, because there are plenty of good programs like this. There's Ahmed Yomi program also. There's Araisa. There's plenty of wonderful, but I think that's the godless of kind of hooking in to something that is a daily mechayiv. Now, this is the PhD saying, make it a kitzvah. How much, and I both say, here, we're going to talk about this in a little bit, but remember, it's not just enough for a Gemara also. Person has to have a well-balanced spiritual diet made up of a variety of different Torah sources. He says, how much? So he has to say, how much are you going to learn? How much Gemara are you going to learn? How much Halacha are you going to learn? How much Medrash are you going to learn? Every week, every day, set for yourself those goals. And at the end of the day, don't compromise on them. Actually, batal mehem ye etzlecha kimochas v'shalom lis batal yomei lahaniach tefillin. They both say this is incredible. Piaget tonight says as follows. He says a person has to make their learning, such a regular occurrence, such a part of my life, that missing a day of learning would be as crazy as missing a day of tefillin. They both say, you know, it's interesting. I think we would all agree that, like, no matter how hectic one's life is, one is not going to miss a day of tefillin, right? Are there days, because of circumstances, I'm not going to lie, like my davening is not rocking the heavens, right? And maybe the entire thing is 7 minutes from beginning to end, and tefillin are coming on, shema shemona esrei, they're coming off. We've all had days like that, and sometimes, because again, of circumstances beyond their control. And sometimes, again, for whatever reason, maybe it's not in the morning, it's in the afternoon, but I would never in a million years contemplate missing a day of tefillin. So I might have a compromised tefillin experience, right? I might not be having the ideal tefillin experience, but I'm never going to miss. So the Pierre Rose says, so here's what's interesting. Yet the same Jew, is sometimes the same Jew, who would never ever miss tefillin, would miss a day of learning. Piaget says, I got to build myself up to a different place where Torah in my life is as necessary as tefillin. And the same way I would never miss a day of tefillin, I would never miss a day of Torah. Again, could it be that most days I learn it at 45 minutes and there's a day where I only get, 5 minutes? Sure, that could happen, but I'm never going to fully miss it. We'll say, see what he's describing over here? And the equating the two, he says over here, he says, V'ark az kvar yimtza l'cha p'nai al ko'ila. See, I will say, anything that I deem as an indispensable part of my life, I always find time for, right? So a person would never say, right? A Jew would, what's the thing with this? Would you ever say the words, I was too busy today to put on tefillin? No. I'll find 30 seconds, right? Whatever it is, I would never. So the Piaget says, but it's interesting how, like, in the world of Ruchnius, often we look at Torah as something beautiful, something wonderful, something value added, and it's certainly a necessity. But if I miss a day, it's like, in other words, if I miss a day, I'm not playing golf, I missed a day because it was just a crazy day, that's like acceptable. Piaget says, it's not. It's not. Torah is the very air that I breathe. Torah is my very lifeblood. Torah is no less dispensable, or Torah is as indispensable as tefillin is. As tefillin is. And Piaget says, I have to get myself to a level where I recognize that I have to have my Torah. Maybe some days a little less, maybe some days a little bit more, maybe some days not at the exact time I thought I was going to do it, but it's always got to be there. And I have to, in my mind, in the hierarchy of my life, Torah and Tefillin have to go on the same level. I'll say it's incredible. He says, here's what's interesting, because when something becomes an indispensable part of your life, something amazing happens, which is you find time for it. You find time for it. Let's say it's always an interesting thing, by the way. Like when we kind of talk about, and all of us say, we don't have time for certain things. You could tell a lot about a person and about their hierarchy of needs and their pyramid of importance by the things they don't have time for. Right? What are the things I don't have time for? It's interesting, right? Some people don't have time to have dinner with their family, right? Some people don't have time, to call their parents. Some people don't have time to learn. Some people, so it's interesting because remember, you don't whatever you don't have time for, yet you're still clearly making time for other things. So it's interesting, sometimes by omission, the things that fall by the wayside when I quote unquote don't have time speak volumes about my priorities and speak volumes about my value system. So the PhD, you have to kind of like recalibrate a little bit because for many of us, there's like certain things that are indispensable like tefillin, and then there's Torah, which is beautiful, but if I don't get it, I don't get it, right? I don't get it. This is Chas HaShalom. Torah is as, and we'll say we know this because all of us who learn Baruch Hashem know that if there's a day, I'll just use Dafyomi for an example, right? If there's a day that a person doesn't come to Shir, or there's a day that a person doesn't learn the Daf in the morning, the day is different. Now you could catch it up, right? You listen to at 7 times speed on the car on the way to work, you know. So you know, I'll get it, you know. So I check. You would say it's not the same. So I fulfilled my mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Now let's say, but it's a different day. I'm a different person. My davening is different. My life is different. Everything is different. So the Piyajasna says that's the power of Torah. That's the parable. Say, Torah is a transformative entity that as soon as you delve into it, whether you understand it or you don't understand it, is inconsequential. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. It transforms you. So if I don't have that transformative experience, then by definition, there is something missing from me in life. In the same way, tefillin is also, we'll say, well, why does he keep bringing up tefillin? We've spoken about this before. The Maharsham Masechet Brachos brings down, what is it? We know that tefillin really is like one of those cornerstone mitzvahs. So I'll say, so what is it? So I don't know if you saw, there's like this global initiative going on about getting people to put on tefillin, the WhatsApp group, right? The Telfies, you know, you stake up. So actually, when Eitan Katz came here for the pre Rosh Hashanah Kumzitz, he had actually, it's incredible, he had done a concert in the American Dream Mall for a chevra there that was part of this tefillin initiative. And I was watching because there's a boy in town who like participates in it, and he showed it to me. He actually showed me his video. This kid is unfortunately very disconnected. Beautiful neshama, but very disconnected. See, he's on the video and he's talking about how tefillin transforms his life. Meanwhile, like. Yeah, like, not the words you would expect to hear from someone who's presenting the way that he's presenting. Why is tefillin so transformative? So the Maharsham Masechet Brachos brings down, he says very beautifully, he says, we put on shalyad and shal rosh. So the shalyad over the arm represents physical power. The shal rosh, which goes over the mind, remember the neshama is not here, not in the heart, the neshama is in the head. So the shalyad goes over the mind, which is the intellect, and the neshama. Maharshon says when a person puts on tefillin, what they're doing is they're binding their physical prowess and their intellectual, emotional, and spiritual prowess to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What I'm saying is, Ribono Shel Olam, every source of koach that I have, I'm devoting somehow to your service. We'll say, right, isn't that our ultimate goal? Our ultimate goal is to go ahead and use every gift, every power, every koach we have in the service of the Ribono Shel Olam. That's the power of tefillin. So we'll say, you know what else is like that? Torah. Torah is called the daughter of the Ribono Shel Olam. Baruch Hu says, the Medrash brings down, Kash Baruch Hu during Matan Torah says, it's very difficult for me. I have one daughter, right? An only daughter. I love her more than anything. It's hard for a father to marry off his daughter, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I trust that you are going to be a good husband to my daughter, and that's Torah. Torah is the Ribono Shel Olam's daughter that he gave to us. So when a Yid engages in Torah, right, then ultimately, again, what I'm doing is I'm also binding myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the power of Talmud Torah. Therefore, the PhD says, this has got to be part of every day. Part of every day. Ideally, right, in the morning. Can't do it in the morning? In the evening. Can't do it in the evening? Gotta do something. But one thing is for sure, can't go through a day without it. Can't go through a day without it because it is as necessary as whatever in your mind is the most necessary spiritual level. Incredible. He says as follows. Well, say, let's go paragraph Yud. Hakshev Shema is also this incredible. Another incredible piece here. He says, page 52, paragraph Yud. Hakshev Shema. Well, says, I think we'll probably end up spending the rest of our time on this last piece. Hakshev Shema. So listen carefully. Zachar Vishamar. And so this is the Piaget's way of saying, listen up. right? Listen, put down the chicken, right? And listen up, right? That's the Piaget's not talking, right? Right? Just pay attention to this. He says, "Call." You know, I'm just kidding. I have to put down the chicken. He says, "Call Davar Tov is incredible. Call Davar Tov and Haga Tova Shati Odei Shetzarach Atala Sosa." So I was saying, if now all of these things are interconnected. So if there is something I know that I need to do. Something I know I need to do, right? So, for example, again, I've taken upon myself some type of hanhaga tova, right? Again, whether it's a mitzvah, like Torah that we were just learning about in paragraph test, or some other thing that I've taken upon myself that I feel like is a necessity in order to advance my life. But it's something I've taken upon myself. He says, "Hein b'talmud Torah tefillah, whether you've taken on something in your learning, you've taken on something in your davening, hein b'hisnagus shel asmecha, or you've taken something on when it comes just to your personal behaviors, right? Something with your midos. L'mashal, im yodea ata shetarach ata lakum bashmors b'shazu." For example, let's say a person said, "You know what? I'm being mechalpans. I want to start waking up earlier in the morning. I want to wake up early in the morning." Why? Again, it goes back to paragraph test. Lish Baruch Hu loves beginnings. I want to start my day with Helikite, right? I want to begin my day with holiness. And so I'm going to learn in the morning. So again, I'm waking up early in the morning. That's what I've taken upon myself. Okay. V'nechshalta v'lo kamtaz. Let's get ready for this. So what happens if you oversleep? It happens, right? This is such a fascinating thing. So what is my reaction when I oversleep? So we'll say, so generally, right? What's our reaction? Okay, I tried. It happens. Again, everybody has one of those mornings. So look what the Rebbe says. He says, for example, "Oh, in kabata atzmecha sholecho ma'chozeh, eizu yamim, mipnei shechemda shechamara ta'oso." Was I just spoke this before? Or let's say again, I decide, you know what? I'm going to abstain from a particular food. Right? We spoke about this, we'll say, a number of weeks ago, about the concept of restraint. Right? That Kedusha manifests itself in the ability to restrain oneself. I want to build up my restraint. So you know what? There's a particular food that I love. Right? I'm just taking it upon myself that I'm not going to eat it for a week. Right? That, again, my personal Kabbalah. And what happened? The nichshalta va'avarta. And sure enough, you know what? I told I wasn't going to eat schnitzel, right? And then I come to Chabura, right? And then, and I ate it. So again, he's giving examples over here where a person took on a personal Kabbalah, right? I took on a personal, I'm going to wake up early in the morning, right? And I overslept. I'm not going to eat a certain food because I just want to inculcate within myself a sense of restraint. And then I ate it. I just want to point out such a disparity in what the people... What is the most beautiful thing that we've seen in the Piagetznos so far throughout this entire Sefer? Chassidus, and especially the Piagetznos brand of Chassidus, is so loving, is so accepting, is so understanding, and is so able to go ahead and meet people where they are with all of our frailties and all of our difficulties. Shabbos says, so you would expect, before we go, so you would expect the Piagetznos says, right? I took upon myself to wake up early in the morning, and one morning I overslept. Or I took upon myself not to eat a certain food, and then I slept, I ate it. So what would you expect the Piagetznos to say? What would you expect?
Shame on you.
No, you expect them to say no, again, okay, Shefla. You know what, you tried, you're great, you're beautiful, tomorrow you're going to do better. Shabbos say, look what he writes over here, this is crazy. Not crazy, he says like this. Ye be'enecha, kilu nechshalta ba'avera chamura chas v'shalom. You slept in? You should treat that as if you just committed the worst avera. Wow. Right? You couldn't restrain yourself and you ate the food that you said you weren't going to eat. You should treat that as if you committed the worst avera. And I will say, this sounds so un-Piagetzno-like, right? This doesn't sound like the way the Rebbe would talk to us. The Rebbe is all about, you fail, get back up, don't worry. Failure is part of the fabric of life. But yet here, Rebbe says, coming down so hard. You made a Kabbalah. You didn't carry through on your Kabbalah. Failure to carry through on your commitments is like the commission of the worst avera. Piagetzno, why are you coming down so hard? So we'll say, watch this. He says, "Umisha'im kol kishlon be'enav kavera." Because we'll say, if people don't treat their personal failures like the commission of the worst avera, kal shebekalu, then you are a spiritual and life lightweight. You're a lightweight. We'll say, watch this. He says, "Ki akalos hu she'enam idas." We'll say, let me just tell what the Piagetzno, then we're going to read inside. The Piagetzno says, in life, you have to stand for something. In life, you have to stand for something. And if you believe that something is important, you have to hold yourself accountable. And if you don't hold yourself accountable, then what are you? Then what? Then what do you measure your success against? If you don't, there's this very fine line between, on one hand, accepting the fact that failure occurs and giving yourself a pass on every single thing. See, I accept that failure occurs. I accept it. But when failure does occur, I'm upset at myself. I'm upset at myself because I didn't have to sleep in. I didn't have to. I did not have to. I didn't have to eat that food. I didn't have to do it. It represents a weakness. It represents a lack of conviction. It represents a lack of commitment. And the Piaget just says, if you don't have commitment and you don't have conviction and you don't hold yourself to a high standard, you're not going to get anywhere in life. Because they're both saying, what's going to happen? I'm just going to keep on giving myself a pass. Right? I'll do better next time. I'll do better next time. When's next time? Oh, it's not tomorrow, right? But whenever next time is, right? I'll get to it. And pass, and pass, and pass. And I will say, that's why so often in life what happens? We find ourselves, have you ever wondered about this? How many of us are stuck in the same place? I wonder, like, I'm trying. It's not like I'm not trying. I'm trying. Because I will say, what's the problem? I'm not holding my feet to the fire. I'm not holding myself accountable. I'm not holding myself to the high enough standard. I'm just giving myself a pass. Every single time I don't live up to an expectation, I was really tired. There's always tomorrow. There's this. The food was so good. Piagetna says, if you can't stand up and uphold your convictions, you are not getting anywhere in life. I will say, this is probably like the starkest thing that the Piagetna said the entire Savior. I will say, it stings a little bit, right? Because we've all had moments like that where either, like quite literally, I've slept in, right? Or I've missed this, or I just haven't lived up. And again, the natural thing is always to give ourselves a pass. Piagetna says, if you can't hold yourself to the very standards that you create for yourself, then how are you ever going to do anything in life? How are you ever going to accomplish anything? If you always give yourself a pass for every misstep, you'll never move forward. Steve, what were you going to say?
I was going to ask, and I think the world answered how that compares. Last week, we spoke about being a loser or a failure. And failure is not making a mistake or screwing up. Failure is throwing in the towel and giving up and walking away. So that's how the world defines, how the Piagetna defines failure.
Okay. Right. I think
failure,
it's still...
Failure, but then holding yourself accountable for that failure so as to not do it again.
Correct. Okay. Correct. So in other words, what I want to point out over here is, let's be clear. Is the Piagetna saying, create for yourself a model where you never fail? I mean, sure, that's great, but that's not possible. What he's saying is very profound, is how should you feel in the aftermath of failure?
Own it.
Right? Own it. And feel disappointed. Feel disappointed. No, I was going to say, it's so interesting because I just want to point out, like, it's a little bit like countercultural. Everything the Piaget says is countercultural, but like, you know, what's fascinating is, like, in today's day and age, everything is about feeling good. Everything is about feeling good, right? And no matter what you do or you don't do, you need to feel good about it, and everyone around you needs to make you feel good about it as well. And I will say, which of course is not true, like it doesn't work. It doesn't work, and it's false, it's sheker, it's hevel, it's nothing. The Piagetna says it's important to feel the sting of failure in the aftermath of failure. You know why? You know why? Because I will say, like, that means I'm not going to do it again, because I don't want to feel that negativity. I don't want to feel that sense of failure. So Piagetna goes on, we'll say.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Have you ever had a nightmare? I'm just curious. Because
is this a personal question?
We depend on you every morning.
Yeah, but that's true about this.
I had a dream. On you every morning, yeah. To be there.
Yeah.
And I just wondered, I'm sure you've never, like, missed a class. But I'm saying, have you ever had a nightmare where you woke up in a cold sweat? Were you like, oh my God, I missed a doc?
First of all, I will tell you, I've had alarm fails just like everyone else, absolutely have. So I'll tell you like this. And the truth is, my wife, it drives her a little bit nuts. I check my alarm about 4 times before I go to sleep. About 4 times before I go to sleep. I make sure I use my phone as my alarm. I make sure that my phone is plugged in and charged and this. And the charger's working. I plug it in. It's a little bit probably like, what's the word? OCD. Probably a little bit OCD. Yeah, so yeah, I check AM, PM. And even though, again, it's one alarm. From Monday through Friday, I check it a minimum of 4 times. And the truth is, I'm not going to lie, most nights after I get into bed, about 10 minutes later, I get back up and I check it once more. Yeah, again, 100%. Like, because again, like, at the end of the day, you know, my grandfather's a Kohen Levracha. My grandfather learned, even though he was from a Hasidic family, he learned in the yeshiva of Nirvadok, which was a peculiar thing, especially from a Hasidic background. So I remember as a kid, I used to ask my grandfather, he used to always be a very early riser. I said, Zadie, how did you get up in yeshiva in the morning? So he said, before I went to sleep, I would tell myself 5 times what time I was getting up. I would repeat the time 5 times, say, I have to get up that time. He said, every morning I got up at that time. Now, again, I think that that's just like a different level of physical and spiritual discipline. So to me, like, I am reliant on an external source. Like,
have you ever thought about putting the second alarm somewhere else in the room?
Yeah, I do, except my wife, right. I'll have a great alarm, but won't be married. But other than that, you know, I thought about all these things, put a second alarm over here. But then I realized I do, Baruch Hashem, live with another wonderful human being who I have to respect. I just want to point out, we're all in the same boat. We really are all in the same boat with all the same challenges, all the same difficulties. Just like, right? All of us have mornings. All of us have mornings where that alarm goes off. You're like, not today. Not, you know what? Not today.
Nope.
No, not going to do it. Right? Correct.
Sometimes I wake up
in
the night and check my alarm.
Right. I'm saying, so like, remember, the reason why spiritual greatness is such a meaningful thing is because it takes work. It just takes work. So the brother said, so to me, I tell you, when I was preparing this piece today, I felt like a little bit like, I said this yesterday, what is it last week? What is it called, like, when you're like, fall down and get the wind knocked out of you?
Get
the wind knocked out of you, that's it. That's a technical term, right? I'll tell you, like, when I read it, I was like, whew. Like, it just doesn't sound like our Rebbe. Like, it doesn't... I was expecting the PhD not to say, okay, don't worry. This tomorrow, you'll do better. I'm sorry?
What time does your alarm go off?
My alarm? Yeah. 5:05. Yeah. 5:05. Right? So I'll say, so the Maisa...
Importantly, he's not saying you are bad. You should feel bad.
Correct. Again, correct. You're not bad.
You didn't fail.
You're not bad. But you have to hold... No. You're right. Coined that lastly. You lost. But you should feel the sting of defeat. That's his point. In other words, don't say, oh well, better luck tomorrow. No, it's not oh well, better luck tomorrow. It's like, what happened here? What happened here? How did this happen in my life? And I know it sounds like very dramatic, like, God, calm down a little bit. It's just like one morning, right? It's like I didn't sleep till 1 o'clock in the afternoon, right? I dominated a little chakras, right? So again, I will say, but still, the Piaget's the thing is, I have to ask myself, like, how did this happen? How did this happen? Like, what's the breakdown in my life that I'm not able to honor my commitments? Am I a failure of a person? No, I'm a human being. But don't be so quick to give myself a pass in the aftermath of failure. Feel the sting, feel the hurt, feel the disappointment a little bit. Because I must say, that's what keeps us on the right path going forward. Jerry, you going to say something?
No, somewhat popular engineering book. Engineer, human, and the subline of it is the importance of failure in the success of design.
Right.
And the whole book is by Petrovsky. The whole book is about
incredible.
Is about different engineering failures, aviation, and other things, and how you have to learn from these successes, and it's important in engineering to learn from these failures so you can improve the next one. So. To learn as humans.
100%. I think the Piaget is adding on one very important point. To learn from failure, absolutely. He's pointing out, own it, sting of failure. I will say this, I want to point out, like, this makes many of us very uncomfortable, right? Because more often than not, in the aftermath of failure, okay, I'll own it, but like, I want to move on. I want to move on, right? Let's, okay? Go ahead. I'm sorry, about numbing the pain, exactly. And the Piaget's in the thing again, and it's very important. The Rebbe is not Chas V'Shalom saying that I'm a failure. No, but just understand you failed. I have failed in this. Feel the pain of that failure, because if you allow yourself to feel it and understand how I got here, that enhances the probability that I'm not going to repeat this mistake again. It's such an integrity. I'm sorry?
It's like developing integrity.
Absolutely. So we'll say, look, he goes on. Let's finish this piece. He says, V'chein b'shar dvarim, yubeinecha, kili nechshalta, again, we said most of this outside, I'll see it inside. V'chein b'shar dvarim, yubeinecha, kili nechshalta, ba'aveir chamur chas v'shalom. So, you didn't live up to your personal Kabbalah, right? So you didn't learn. Or, again, you weren't able to abstain from that particular food. You failed. It should be in your mind, you should treat it as if you transgressed the terrible aveira. U'mishein kol kishlom be'inav ka'aveira le'tzarev le'dogalav. A person who doesn't feel the sting of his mistakes, right, and doesn't feel the pain of his mistakes, kal shebekalimu. Such a person will say, it's a very strong lesson. Kal shebekalim means he's a nothing. Kal shebekalim, like a lightweight of a lightweight, like a nothing. Because what do you stand for? What do you stand for if you don't hold yourself accountable to your own convictions, to your own goals? Then what are you? He says, "Ki akalosu she'ein amidaso chazaka." What's the meaning by kalo? So the kalos is I don't stand for anything. I don't stand for anything. Look what he says. Kiser ukinotza ba'avihu misnomea. I'm like a feather being blown around the moon. They both say, "What does a feather stand for?" Right? What does a feather attach itself to? What does a feather attach itself to? Wherever the wind takes. In other words, a feather doesn't attach itself to anything, right? In other words, well, because it's part of the animal, right? Once it's dislodged, it goes wherever the wind blows it, right? It's not attached to anything. So a person who doesn't stand firm to his convictions and doesn't hold himself accountable in the aftermath of his failures is just like the feather being blown around the wind. Rega omid b'mizrach, berega sheni ruach kal kvar mashchil l'marav. So we'll say what happens. Right, the feather, one moment it's in the east, right? Then a wind comes along, and suddenly again, it was in the west. But a feather, you were just in the east. And I will say, by the way, I just want to point out, he says, V'akal shebekalim yokul l'kaval atzmo komi dos tovos. I will say, that's why a person who will call him a feather, right? A feather, right? A person who is a feather in life, which means he's not tethered, he's not anchored, he doesn't hold himself accountable for anything. So what happens? He could accept upon himself whatever he wants. Aval lo bahem bilvat eina batuach. But at the end of the day, I will say, again, it's not only that he's not going to be successful ultimately in the execution of those things. I will say, such a person who's like a feather in life, it's not only that he's not going to hold himself accountable for things he takes upon himself, but he's going to end up committing averus also. Why? I will say, it makes sense. If you don't hold yourself to any system of accountability, right? If you don't hold your own feet to the fire, the Piaget says, okay, maybe it starts out by not honoring your commitments or not living up to your personal expectations. But where does the road lead? Where does the road lead? It leads to chait. It leads to avera. Right? That's the natural. I will say, you know, you see people like this all the time, where people will start something, right? And you know what? Whether it's too difficult or they're just not feeling it. So what do they do? What do they do? They take on something different, right? You have people like this where it's like the spiritual flavor of the week, right? I'm always moving on to something else. Often what people like that, they're not lacking inspiration. What are they lacking? Conviction and commitment. Conviction, in other words, so when you tried something and you failed, so you took failure as a license to not hold yourself accountable and just simply move on to something else. But no, the peers, that's not the way it works. When you take something on and you fail, which happens to all of us, feel bad about it. I know, you're not allowed to say things like this today, right? Feel bad about it. You should feel bad. You should feel guilty, right? You should feel like you messed up. You should feel like you didn't live up to your personal expectations. Not to feel bad about yourself as a person, but Lamai said to feel bad that you didn't come through in a way you were supposed to. Says the Piagetsna, that's what it takes to be successful in life. If not, you're just a feather. And what is a feather? I will say, what's the life of a feather? Some people like feather life, right? Feather life is you go wherever the wind blows you. right? This today, this tomorrow, the east over here, the west over here. I feel like this. I don't feel like this. I'm into this. I'm not into this. Whatever.
Right.
Whatever, right? Ultimately, I go where the wind goes, and that's it. I will say, if you bring these pieces together, it's really incredible, right? Because again, so here in paragraph 10, you have the Piagetsna telling us about the need to go ahead and embed Torah within our lives, right? We have to make Talmud Torah something that is an indispensable part of our relationship with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like tefillin. Just like tefillin. So there's no such thing as not having enough time. Ideally, put it in the morning, it's the Rishis. And then I will say, now the PHS says, so how do you execute on that? How do you execute on that? Or for that matter, how do you execute on any good thing you want to accomplish in life? And I will say, what's the answer? Achrayus. Accountability. Accountability. To tell myself, you know, I will say, I said this many times, you know what the death knell of any life, and there are three words that are the death knell of any life initiative. Three words. Good, who said that? Gabby, right? I will try. I will try. Let's say, if someone ever tells you that they're going to try, do not count on them to deliver anything. Right? They are not going to deliver. I will try means, you know what, like, sure, I'll put a little bit of effort into this. You know, I'm happy to go ahead and try to, like, push myself just a tiny little bit. But at the end of the day, I'm not really committing myself in any type of significant way. I will try. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. Let's say, you don't try, you produce. Right? You don't try, you accomplish. You don't try, you do. Now, again, do you always come through? No. So now at the PHS, the saying is, so how do you execute on the Torah piece? Right? How do you make that happen? And the answer, says the PHS, ultimately is by making it an expectation. And when I make it an expectation, anything that I create an expectation for myself of, I must live up to. There are no exceptions, I'll say. There are no exceptions to my life, to my expectations of myself. Now, does it mean I don't fail? I'm positive for being repetitive, but does it mean I don't fail? No, of course I fail. Of course I fail. But in the aftermath of failure, I will say, how are you supposed to feel? I know it sounds so heavy, but how are you supposed to feel when you fail in the actualization of your expectations of yourself? How should you feel?
Badly.
Poorly. You're not a bad person. You're a good person. But you should feel badly that you did not live up to your own expectations of yourself. Because if you made it for yourself, you could do it. And if you failed to do it, it's just simply because you didn't try hard enough. And that sting, that hurt, that pain of not being the best version of you, when I easily could, or not so easily, but I could have, that's what prevents me from ultimately lapsing into that negative behavior or just that lazy behavior once again. I will say, an incredible, incredible. All right, so we'll stop over here for tonight. Again, I will say, I think next week, Emeritz Hashem is Hoshana Rabo, so we're going to have Chassidus again as well. It's going to be Daf Yomi Emeritz Hashem from 7:30 to 8:30. And then Emeritz Hashem, Piagetsna from 8:30.
We'll
do extra food next week.
Intermittent.
Good. We're gonna have Fabringing, so it's gonna be. I think Ellie's gonna be here also. So we'll have some singing, some food, some. All right, to say. And tomorrow, what is it? Next week. Hold me to this. I'm creating an expectation. Hold me to this. Next week, we are finishing in Emeritz Hashem this section. So our goal next week is to really finish the formal part of the Sefer, which really ends on page 54. 54 is really the end of the Sefer. Then I will say, ultimately, again, becomes how we form into Chaburos. So Emeritz Hashem, that's the commitment we're making. Finish the Sefer next week on El Hashanah Rabba. We'll say Shkoyach. Myrif.